David's Bridal, where brides and bridesmaids get fabulously dressed. We let our friends pick out what we wear, show off our dance moves, obsess over every little detail, hold your hand through it all, smile bravely when it's time to let go. Make your dreams come true. The things we do for love, only at David's Bridal.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. And Joe, go ahead and finish what you were saying there about what was taking place with Slendra.
We've got this company, ChargePoint. The CEO, who's no longer there, stepped down. His name is Pascal Romano. His company is facing a class action lawsuit. Biden appointed this guy as a big expert on the National Infrastructure Advisory Council, and it's going to reduce the risk of our nation's critical infrastructure. Well, the guy stepped down. The next chairman that they put in, he stepped down also. The stock was worth $46 a share back in 2020, December. This month, it's worth $2.24. The company is going broke, even though they've been given millions and millions and millions of dollars by the federal government. And now there's a class action lawsuit against them, and some of the top claiming that the top executives violated the Securities Exchange Act, and company share price was artificially inflated because of false and misleading statements by the executives who are now jumping ship. And this sounds like another one called Li-Cycle, a battery recycling company that received a commitment for a $375 million loan in February, and the Department of Energy cleared them. Well, it found out that Li-Cycle was defrauding its investors, and the company's stock price has tanked, and they're under investigation because they defrauded millions of people out of all their money. This is Biden's idea of how to buy votes and run the green, New Deal, run the economy. Just like Solyndra, millions and billions of dollars being defrauded from you, the taxpayer. And what are you getting for it? So far, nothing. You should be a little angry. But I don't hear the anger, do you?
Well, yeah, there is some anger out there, but people have been, with all of what is going on, what I'm hearing is a rumble, and it's getting stronger and stronger, especially where we're out here.
Good.
Like, we're talking about Tactical Civics. Tactical Civics now has 1,300 chapters in 1,300 counties. And so
that's grown 200 not too long ago.
Yeah, so it's moving because people are getting fed up. You see, there's some angry people there in Chicago. You just had some very angry folks in Chicago who are having their jobs taken away from them by illegal aliens. Illegal aliens coming in.
Oh, yeah.
There's some real anger at Joe Obama Biden, and as you can see, Joe Obama Biden is going down in the polls. He's sinking like a rock. Okay,
right. And well, so, which brings up some. I wanted to point out. He's given out now new forgiveness for the student loans, even though the Supreme Court said, he's found some ways to kind of go around what the Supreme Court said. You can't do that, forgive the loans. Remember when I was talking about the voter fraud, the mail-in ballots? 31% of the voters under 40 who voted by mail said they cast a ballot in a state where they were no longer a resident. It seems like much of the legal ballot voting was by the younger people, not by the older people, but those under 40 are the ones it seems like are involved in most of the election fraud. Just a little interesting point.
Well, Joe, there was also a couple graveyards where every person who had their name on a headstone voted, and they all had the same address. And would you believe they were all for Democrats? I mean, they were all biased. So, yeah, so
no voter fraud there, right? Dead people vote all the time.
But they always vote Democrat. You'll notice that. Now, anyhow, I'm going to switch it over here and talk about in prison for 50 years we've had a prison ministry. 45 of those years, we were actively visiting on a regular basis, visiting prisons and death row on a regular basis. And over all those years, whenever an inmate would find a way to call into the radio program, sometimes they got away with it once or twice, but then they got caught, and we had I had a situation with. See, the prison systems, not just here in Ohio, but across the country, they don't want a lot of people knowing what's happening in the system. You've got a tremendous amount of corruption in the prison system here in Ohio. But anyhow, so with that, how Jake Lang, who happens to be a January 6th inmate who's been in prison now for almost 1,300 days, without a charge. He's in that D.C. jail. But he has managed to call me on a regular basis. He's got a way of doing this. And so let's play a clip of Jake.
Oh, yes.
Hey, hello. Pastor Ernie, it's Jake Lang. Hey, brother.
How you doing?
I'm hanging tough, you know. It's a Christmas season between Thanksgiving and Christmas here, and the second night of Hanukkah, and my mother's Jewish, and so I'm missing my family, but, you know, freedom isn't free, Pastor. Somebody's got to pay.
Well, you're telling me, and that's why I've been fighting this stuff for 50 years. I've been in the battle against communism, and you're a hostage held by a communist regime there.
Yeah, the January 6ers are all, we're in the middle of a big spiritual battle right now. We're praying. The Supreme Court met today. I filed my case specifically, the obstruction of Congress charge. I'm battling it in the Supreme Court. And today they met to decide whether or not they're going to take it. We don't have a decision yet. So this whole weekend is going to be a weekend of prayer for all of our brothers and sisters out there, Pastor.
I will do that tonight. We will do that tonight on the air. I will go over the air and have folks praying for that. How's your health? You hold it up?
Yeah, I'm strong. I'm young. You know, I was 25 years old on January 6th. I'm 28 now. I'll be 29 in April. And that entire time I haven't had a trial. So, you know, I stay strong, though. My spirit is strong and my body's still strong, so I'm just blessed, and I thank God every day. I do a lot of working out in here, a lot of praying, a lot of reading the Bible, and a lot of interviews and podcasts to try to spread the truth for the Jan Sixers. So I'm busy and I'm blessed.
Will there be no justice until those very same people, that so-called select committee, trade places with you guys? Until they're in that same dirty jail that you're in there. And that goes along with that mayor of D.C. They all need to be in that dirty jail.
Serial browser.
Right.
Yeah, they're a bunch of crooks. And justice will have its day, God willing. You know, that's one of the reasons why this Supreme Court case is such an important thing right now, is because really – I think that, like, justice is on the line in America right now. Do people have their faith restored in the justice process, that at the end of the day, you know, Lady Justice is still blind and we're going to be able to get, you know, vindication here? Or have, you know, the federal government just completely destroyed every institution that we once, you know, considered sacred in America? This is a big one, Pastor.
I know. Every single institution. They've gone after. And again, it goes back down to what we've been talking about here. They've gotten to them. It's the Pandora Papers, which we've talked about several times with Mike Gill here. Big money, and I mean large, huge amounts of very dirty money get to the heads of all these agencies, the IRS, the NSA, the FBI, the Department of Justice, everybody gets a piece, and everybody, and Hillary Clinton knows who has what. And that's why she's the queen. That's why they do everything that they can to protect her, and along with Joe Biden. This is why you see such corruption.
Yeah, I mean, we know it. It's really the response that we've seen through when you stand up against it. Really, you can tell that you're obviously catching flack when you're over the target. And so the January Sixers were right over the target at the Capitol that day, and that's why they're really raining down all of the tyranny and the destructive power they have on us, because, you know, I think we were at the head of the snake there. And it's very unfortunate that our beautiful American experiment here has been usurped by a lot of Satanists and a lot of people who wish to see us in one world government.
Well, you're exactly right. And listen, more and more Democrats are choosing the Church of Satan as their church. And so, I mean, they're outwardly doing it now. And again, this is exactly what 2 Timothy chapter 3 talked about when
happening there. We have something is interfering here with the
something happened.
Okay. Yeah, we're trying to figure out what's going on here, you know, but then again, we kind of always know these things always kind of happen. And of course, you know, they happen with us, and all of a sudden, you know, this technology and this AI, well, what can you say? But anyhow, do you think we're going to be able to get it back? Okay. We're working on seeing if we can recover what the rest of this is now. I have another segment that we can play too. But I was going to save that other segment for the second hour of tomorrow, okay? And hopefully, and I just had listened to both of those segments, and they were both good all the way through, the both of them. But here, the real miracle is the fact that he is able to do this, to get this, to have this phone in there, and apparently they haven't figured this out there yet in a jail. Or I don't know if, okay, I think we're going to try to go back. Let's see what we can do.
At the Capitol that day, and that's why they're really raining down all of the tyranny and the destructive power they have on us, because, you know, I think we were at the head of the snake there. And it's very unfortunate that our beautiful American experiment here has been usurped by a lot of Satanists and a lot of people who wish to see us in one world government.
Well, you're exactly right. And listen, more and more Democrats are choosing the Church of Satan as their church. And so, I mean, they're outwardly doing it now. And again, this is exactly what 2 Timothy chapter 3 talked about when it said in the last days, very specifically about the end of the sixth dispensation period, we're seeing it filled out. And of course, we know what we are to do. We are to run to this battle, and you're doing the right thing. Where you're at, remember, the Bible says that those that suffer the most for the cause of Christ will be rewarded the greatest for the cause of Christ.
Yeah, I mean, it is a blessing at the end of the day in God's kingdom here to suffer for righteousness' sake. It's a grace that he bestows upon his strongest warriors. I don't consider myself to be one of those. I'm running forward in the race, you know. I'm not punching at the air, God forbid. We're gaining traction. We're growing in grace every day, but we can't look at our persecution and our struggles that we face as a Christian nation as some type of moment to pity ourselves. It's really God pouring out his trust on his children, saying that even through the valley of the shadow of death, even through the darkness, I know that you'll burn brighter, that you will keep your lamp burning for my son Jesus. And with faith in your heart, persevere through these trials and tests that I send your way to perfect your faith and, in fact, grow closer to me through this. And I have to remind myself that often. You know, my third Thanksgiving just came and went incarcerated without a trial, Pastor, for over now it's 1,053 days. I've been held as a hostage by Joe Biden without a trial. And I have to remind myself on that when I know my family's out there enjoying Thanksgiving, my brand new beautiful baby niece, Shia, which she's on my Jewish side of my family. Her name means the gift of God, Shia. And, you know, to spend my first Thanksgiving with her and my family would have been a blessing. And, you know, you have to remind yourself of these truths that, that the Bible tells us that it is a blessing to suffer for righteousness' sake because you do grow, you know, lonely and homesick and things of that nature just naturally. You miss your family and you miss, you know, being around those who love you. But there's greater glory to be had here for God's kingdom than sometimes living that comfortable, easy lifestyle, that white picket fence. You got to come out of the boat sometimes and step onto the water.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, here, what we're seeing today is, you know, the Bible tells you in the end times, all the nations will turn against Israel. We're seeing here in America, and I warned people from the very beginning and that Biden regime will turn against Israel. They will turn against Israel. And that's happening now. They're in the process of doing it. Right now they're doing it under the table, but they'll be doing it flat out in the open soon. But you have a growing, not only is there a growing anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, it's a very, very growing anti-Christian mindset in this country too. So what you have an unholy alliance of confederacy between the Communist Party, which is the Antichrist system, and radical Islam. They have joined into an alliance, a confederacy. And they have a saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so they are declaring war against Christians and Jews.
It's true. It's true right now. And I just saw, I think the founder of the leader of the UN she was being questioned about condemning open genocide on the Jewish people. And she couldn't bring it forth out of her lips to condemn the genocide of Israel, the Jewish state, because she represents a completely different power structure. She represents Satan's body here on earth, the one world government that he wants to form and put, you know, the Antichrist, the beast, at the helm of that. And you can just see the demon manifesting in her when, you know, any human being with a conscience who is not completely callous and hardened their heart towards God would immediately condemn a genocide of the Jewish people. But she wants to play these identity politics and stand with, you know, the Palestinian genociders, those people killing, openly calling for Iran, the Iranians and the Palestinians and the Muslim world openly calling for the obliteration of my homeland. At the end of the day, my sister fought in the Israeli Defense Force as a medic in the Air Force. I've been to Israel 3-4 times. I received my bar mitzvah on the Wailing Wall in Israel, and I consider that to be my spiritual homeland, even though I'm American through and through. These people can't even condemn the genocide of the Jewish race, and it's the demon that is usurping them is more than happy to call out that they want to kill God's chosen troop.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'm going to be preaching on this Sunday with what's taking place. And, you know, the Bible tells you in Isaiah chapter 3 that when a people become rogue and disobedient to God, he tells them that their children will turn on them, your children. And we're seeing what's happening in these college campuses and families. I mean, I know more families. In fact, just one case today where the children are turning against their parents. And also he says that, and we will give you these children and women as your rulers. You know, you notice that the presidents of these universities now more and more they're women, and the Bible tells you in there that that the enemy attacks men in the area of pride, but he attacks women in the area of discernment. And that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden with Eve. And you're seeing how more and more women are graduating from colleges. More and more women are going to become lawyers and then judges. And they're much quicker to go along with things like abortion. They're much quicker to accept open marriages, which is happening more and more. They're much quicker to accept this transgender movement, much quicker to accept homosexuality. They're much more easily indoctrinated by the media than the men. But we have plenty of men that are turning the other way. They're going, so many of the males are accepting pedophilia, which is just unbelievable. So these are exactly what, you know, if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and you read Isaiah, or 2 Timothy, yeah, chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 3, my gosh, we're seeing all that being fulfilled before our very eyes.
Yeah, you know, I want to speak on that too, because one of the cultural rot, the cancers that's really being spread in America is the reversal of the role between the man and the woman. You had, if you watch, you know, movies in the 1940s and 50s and saw how American culture had the man in a certain position where the woman would, you know, naturally follow after the man. And now you're seeing this complete switch in American society where
you have 1 minute remaining.
You have these social media influencers and these women that the men are drooling after and they're following and they're listening to. And it's actually the feminization and the women in the culture who are creating the new culture, that the men are no longer in the authority position that God has given them. And they're following after the women and doing everything, whatever music the women like, whatever clothes. And it's actually undermining the bedrock of our, you know, integrity here in America as a Christian nation. And I believe that that's one of our places where we're really going wrong, and that men need to step up and to lead their households, lead their communities, lead their families, their marriages, their school boards and places of that, to help cover the discernment attack that the enemy gives on the women. Pastor, give me a moment. I'll call you back. God bless you, brother.
All righty, we are back. And an interesting thing there, Joe, when he had that pause there, if you listen real carefully, you could hear like a door, one of the metal clank doors opening, and you could hear a guard's voice. And I think what he was doing, he was looking. That's why he was quiet. He wasn't saying anything while the guard was standing there in that jail, because he's not supposed to be going on nationwide
not
radio.
Quite like he did, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I just see, that's one of the things earlier I talked about, people not getting angry. People should be calling their senators, your congressmen. This man being in jail this long without being allowed out on bail, he didn't murder anybody, he didn't hurt anybody. The Constitution said you have a right to a speedy trial. He hasn't had a speedy trial. All his rights have been violated, and yet this hasn't been taken to court. Nobody has taken the D.C. System, the mayor or anybody to court, anybody dealing with that dirty D.C. jail. There's been a little lip service, but you basically hear crickets from our politicians. You know, where are the congressmen? Where are the senators? They should be ranting and raving about this. No funding for D.C., something. They should be doing something. I don't think I've ever heard of anything so un-American as this, and yet it's nobody talks about it. I don't hear it in conversation.
Well, actually, Joe, if you're watching, you know, Jim Jordan and Comer and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz, all of them have gone down to that dirty D.C. jail. They've gone in there.
Right,
in fact,
they have, but you're talking a handful.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
How many people in the House? We have 219, 220 Republicans. We should be hearing from every one of those 220, 19 or 20, whatever the figure is, Republicans, and the people should be calling their office, you know, every, you know, once a week, you know, a couple times a week. Why haven't you spoken up? Why haven't you guys done anything? Why is nothing being done for these people? I just don't understand the apathy, the lack of interest and anger across the country.
I think,
like you said,
look,
a handful.
Let me tell you, Joe, I think what a lot of the people, they feel the corruption is so great. They understand, Joe, that we do not have a Justice Department. They understand that Merrick Garland is as crooked goes. He's the most crooked attorney general in the history of the country, the most.
Yeah, and I think they're afraid of him.
I think they understand that, because, you know, I hear a lot of people that are negative. Yeah, I've made those phone calls to plenty of them, okay? And here, when you have Chris Wray, you know, they say, well, wait a minute, didn't Trump appoint him? You know, they had set these people in. Trump was, he was in a snake pit. And now they understand he knows a lot more about how to vet people now. And let me tell you, Trump hasn't just been sitting on his heels. He's got people looking, you know, investigating into the deep state now, finding out more and more about who he can possibly trust. Now, they're scared to death that Trump gets in. They know if he gets back in that Oval Office, he'll have the military at his command. And he knows that he'll have the ability, and this is why they're so afraid. This is why Obama, back in the background, is working day and night within the deep state. They're going to do every dirty trick that they can. And if it looks like there's going to be a fair election, of course, they're going to try to stop that election. But if it does, they will try to find a way to cause martial law, cause something to keep there from being election. This is what's happening. And our people have to be ready.
This is war. I mean, it's a revolution. We've got to be ready to fight.
Yeah. Well, we have to get Donald Trump back in that Oval Office. Then if we can do that, okay. But right now, Joe Obama is bringing in as many foreign troops as he can on American soil. And the idea is to say, all right, start burning things down. We can't have an election. We got to declare martial law. We got to do something. Because he knows, Joe Obama knows, he's going to prison too. He should be tried for high treason. He's committed high treason against America. And so, anyhow, that's what's going on that front. All righty.
Well, I've got some good news maybe before the break.
Go
over
for it.
In India, there's a place called Calvary Temple. It's not just an ordinary, you know, Christian congregation. It started off very small, and now it is a mega church. But it's not mega church like in the U.S., these 300,000 members. The volunteers provide medical care, meals, and more for tens of thousands. They have traffic coordinators who handle shuttle buses, rickshaws, autos, motorcycles, at a campus there at Hyderabad, India. And they want to start these all over that part of the world. It already has 11 satellite churches. And this pastor, Satish Kumar, he said, God put a burden in my heart to establish churches just like what you see going on here. He said, there are 3,000 new believers joining each month. God's hand is upon India. It's time for India to reach the lost, not only within the country, but across the globe. And as I was looking, they've set up hundreds of television programs in 17 of the country's major languages. And the church, they start at 4 a.m. because the streets are already jammed. There are 5 services starting at 6, going till 8. There are, the seats are filled in 3 facilities each Sunday. And it said, beside the gospel, the church provides meals for 50,000 people, has an on-campus hospital for members to get free medical treatment in a country where medical services are poor or rare, and they have have an access card, so if somebody doesn't attend, they miss a Sunday, somebody calls them to check and see if they're okay because of the situation, health, and, you know, India, the poor are very poor there. And it's not because the membership or money in the plate, they're calling to see if, you know, everybody's okay. If you're well, need help, need, you know, something. And I thought this has gone on. They have witnessed this huge uptick in violence against Christians. The more the persecution, the more the church is growing. And the pastor said, and that's what is happening in India. As the persecution increases, the number of converts to Christ increase.
You know what, Joe? Do you know what you just, a lot of what you just said that the church does, that's exactly what we do at Doers of the Word, okay?
I thought you might think that's familiar.
Yeah, we do that. But hang tight, we'll be back right after this. All right, that was a Christmas instrumental by Danny Ray, and that was my good old buddy Danny Ray. Now, this coming Friday night, Joe, for those folks in Northeast Ohio, especially out in the Geauga Lake counties, Bill Wilds is going to be holding a tactical civic meetings at his home. Tactical civic meetings will be held at, he's got a big house over there. And that's going to be this coming Friday night. He wanted me to mention it to the folks out there listening. It's Friday at 7 p.m., and his address is 14720. Again, his address is 14720 Stone Road. That's Stone Road, and that's in Newberry, Ohio. And that's this coming Friday. He's going to hold that tactical civics. We were just at one last night, and here. There's going to be another one Friday. They're happening all over. People are calling wanting to know how they get involved. They're building this thing very slowly, but on a huge, solid foundation to where we can actually take our country back. We can't, if we, the conservative, if we, the Christian, are going to have any justice, if we're going to get any justice, we have to provide it ourselves, because here you can see that our system has gone so corrupted. And what they do today, nothing is the way that we had it from the Constitution. Where, when it comes, to the grand jury, when it comes to the militia, they've gotten so far away, and we got to bring them back to the way the founding fathers gave it to us. And so that's what we're working for. We're doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And so with the next few minutes left, let's open the phone lines, take some calls. So the phone lines are open, and we'll take some calls. And, you know, I've got something. This is just a little funny here, Joe. In the year 1963, this was an article that we did some years ago. But over the years, I have shared in debates, and this is a little bit of nostalgia, and discussions regarding the current state of affairs in the U.S., and the changing social climate of the great nation. Since the baby boomer generation, society and its culture have become noticeably different than the way it was 50 years ago. From the late 1950s to the 70s, a series of events took place contributing to the way we currently are living. However, like anything else, there has to be a starting point at which the wheels are put into motion. Sometimes it can be a single event, such as a war, but more often it's a series of events, some international, some intentional, some planned, others unpredictable. There's always a pivotal point when things begin to change. I believe that time was 1963. For my generation, some of the following will certainly stir old memories. If you were born later than this, may serve as a brief history lesson in times that your parents have traveled through. In 1963, television was the leading source of entertainment. The public enjoyed a different type of programming back then. Lessons on life could be viewed weekly on Leave It to Beaver or My Three Sons. There were heroes back then that never drew blood. The Lone Ranger and The Adventures of Superman. Cartoon series involved such as The Flintstones and The Jetsons, with messages of empowering the children using vulgarities or demeaning parental guidance without using Families could spend a weekend watching Ed Sullivan or Bonanza or Gunsmoke. And for those who enjoyed thrill and suspense, we were blessed with Alfred Hitchcock Presents and The Twilight Zone, My Favorite Martian, Ozzie and Harriet, Donna Reed, and The Sea Hunt also kept viewers entertained weekly. Movie theaters were not multiplex units with 15 screens. Rather, theaters were individuals. And there was one single giant big screen with adequate sound and hard seats without springs. Tom Jones had won the Academy Award for the Best Picture. How the West Was Won, Cleopatra, Lily of the Fields, and The Great Escape, The Birds, and It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World were all in the box office hits. By year's end, the Beatles had played for the British royal families and were laying the groundwork to conquer the U.S. The following year, Eric Clapton began journeying to fame with Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, and Jim McCartney and their band, the Yardbirds. And out on the West Coast, the surf was beginning to rock and roll with the Beach Boys, and their first song to reach the top 10 list, Surfing USA. The joys of Jell-O receipts for quivering fluorescent foodstuffs hit the stores. U.S. postal rates went up to 5 cents for the first ounce. AT&T introduced touch-tone telephones. The Yankees played in the World Series again, but lost to the Dodgers in four straight. The government and NASA began the Apollo program. This was just a brief snapshot of some of the things that were going on back in 1963, remember? Well, some of these events played an important role in the direction of change that affect us today. Many of them were lost to much greater, more political events that I believe put everything into motion. In 1963, the news media showed women burning their bras as the women's liberation movement took off with the publishing of The Feminine Mystique of Betty Friedan. Martin Luther King was jailed in April, and civil unrest was brought into the forefront. And on August 28th, the media brought us live coverage of the March on Washington, D.C., and Dr. King's famous I Had a Dream speech. The Cuban Missile Crisis found its way into our homes, and our nation was gathering up for conflict. By September of 1963, we had lost some very influential people, Pope John, Robert Frost, and the country legend Patsy Cline, to name a few. In the early hours of November 22nd, we learned of the quiet passing of C.S. Lewis, and just hours later, we were brought to our knees when President John F. Kennedy was assassinated and our nation mourned. So you see, while long since forgotten, 1963 could very well have been one of the most important years since our founding fathers provided us with the Constitution of the United States. All right, let's go out to Texas, and we have Brian. Brian, you're in the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Thank you. This is for you, Joel. Will the corrupt Antichrist Democratic Joe Obama Crusade Party, will they come to an agreement on this money, the U.S. citizens' taxpayers' money on the border? They're saying that they won't make an agreement until they come to a mutual agreement on funding, also putting money for the border and for this Ukraine war in Israel. Now, and another question is, why do they have double standards on the Democrats and the Republicans? It's like they have laws for the Democrats, their punishment, and then they have another double standard for the Republicans. You know, Democrats, Republicans, if the Democrats have their own laws and the Republicans have their own, it's like a double standard that they're playing with. It's like the corrupt Biden's with this deal with his son that's on all these drugs.
Let me tell you, you know, this goes back to 2008 when Barack Hussein Obama got into the Oval Office. He had George Soros behind him and some very, very, very corrupt, highly corrupt but skilled people. And he started, and we kept telling every single day, we would tell you, do you see what he's doing here now? He started actually with the military. Do you remember he said, we need to have a civilian army that's every bit as powerful as the military. He wanted to arm all the IRS agents. He wanted to use these social government agencies against the American people. Now, he started in the military. He took 11 four-star generals, and he purged them out. These were men who were pro-God, pro-family, pro-American. He replaced them with communists. He replaced them with communist bootlickers, okay? People like Austin and Milley. And so then he started going through all these different agencies. He went to the Justice Department. He started putting corrupt people. Remember, the tall fellow who was the head of the FBI, and I'm having one of my senior moments. You know who I'm talking about? The one who...
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but anyhow, he came right out and admitted, Comey, Jim Comey, he admitted he was a communist. He said, yes, I'm a communist, okay? Well, you know, under the law, the Constitution, communists cannot hold any kind of an office here in this country. But now, if you take a look at it, the FBI, instead of arresting communists like they used to, they become communists. And He put his people in the Justice Department. So instead of being independent government agencies, they simply became a strong R enforcement branch of the Democratic Communist Party.
Excuse me real quick. You know, when Trump was going through the debates before he was even president, he was telling us, he was telling the whole country, the whole world, the whole nation, that we're fixing to see a rush come to our borders, and there's going to be a lot of bad dudes coming. And it's like, what are they doing not to – it's like Israel today. They're backsliding on Israel.
Yeah, I know. And so, again, until we get we've got to get Trump back into office. We've got to take back control where he has the military. Because, again, these agencies are no longer legitimate agencies. Again, they're not independent, legitimate agencies. Barack Hussein Obama corrupted them. And this guy is an antichrist. And, again, if you were to say, what individual alive today has most of the attributes, more than any other, of the antichrist spoken in the Bible, I would have to say Barack Hussein Obama has got more of the attributes and characteristics of the biblical antichrist than anybody else that I know of. So, there you go. All right, we're just about, how much time do we have there? Okay. All right, thanks. Merry Christmas to you. Okay, Clifford, you got 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'll just give one verse. I think that relates to what you just read. 1 Philippians chapter 5. It says, Paul is talking about from the first day to now, which is interesting. So there was a patch, apparently, where things went okay. What do you think of that? That there, you know, this idea of having a season where things go okay based on that verse.
What was the passage?
It's 1 Philippians chapter 1, verse 5.
Okay. There's only one Philippians, but... let me see.
Fifth verse.
All right. Let me see if I can. Because I want to make sure that I get it in context, and I'm almost there. Chapter 1, verse 5, you say?
Yeah.
Okay. And let me.
For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. But like you said, you got to get the context.
All righty, very good. Let's see. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine, for you are making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's talking about the church of Philippi. He was talking about to the believers there. And see, you know, the Apostle Paul had a lot of inside information, okay? And so he knew things that you and I didn't. And that's why he wrote them down. But he was saying from the very first day that he came to these people in the Philippians, and hath begun a good work in you, I will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, the day of Jesus Christ is the rapture of the church. And so there's a difference between the day of Christ, okay, when it refers to here. And, well, let me take you very quickly over to 1 Timothy. And I'll show you, hopefully, very quickly, because we don't have much time. But here he tells you that the day of the Lord always means judgment, and the day of Christ, and I'm out of time. The day of Christ always refers to salvation. The day of the Lord always refers to judgment. And speaking of that, Joe, you've got 4 minutes. Can you tell us how we can avoid hell and get to heaven?
Sure can. Just thinking about earlier, we were talking about in the Bible study, the Holy Spirit. And I want to start there. In Titus chapter 3, 4 through 6, But after that, the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. And like we were talking earlier tonight, know ye not, ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. That line, not of your own, I hear so many people don't want to become a born-again believer because they are afraid of giving up their control of themselves. They want to be able to do what they want, and they say that you are not your own, you belong to God. What you become when you're a born-again believer is you become a child of God, and of course, being a child, you're subject to your Father to be obedient unto your Father. But being one myself, I try and explain to people there is nothing to be afraid of. You are losing, when you become a born-again believer, you leave a life of sin, you leave a life of sorrow, you enter into a relationship where you become this child of God, a child of the kingdom, and you are filled with blessings other than just eternal life. Your life changes, you're happier, healthier, filled with more joy, more love, and there is really nothing to fear. So many people, there's that old hymn, almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way, Holy Spirit, some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Well, so many people, as Pastor Ernie and I have mentioned over the years, there may not be a tomorrow for many of you. People die, have accidents, things happen all the time. You have to decide where you want to spend eternity, whether you want to spend it with the Lord Jesus in heaven or in the lake or fire with the ungodly. And that's the one thing you give up some of your...
1 minute, Joe, 1 minute.
1 minute. That's all you lose, and you still have that as a Christian. So what do? You call upon the Father, and you tell him that you are sorry that your sins put his Son upon that cross, because that's why he went there for your... Take your place, pay your price of sin. And if you do that with a true repentant heart, God will hear and forgive. And then you can call upon Jesus, who made the sacrifice for you, to be Lord, your Lord, Lord of your life, all of your life without reservation. And then you become this child of the kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. You become a born-again believer, a new creature. And you start growing, and you grow spiritually with that indwelling of the Holy Spirit to guide, direct, and you become truly a son or daughter of God.
All righty, Joe, thanks. We are at Pastor, that time that we come to every night at this time. So we always say at this time, we say good night. So say good night. We always say, well, let's say Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and God bless.
God bless, and then we always say, always, always, always,
always, always.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Cable news, noisy, boring. out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.